Welcome to the Safety Pro Roundtable. Every week on this show, you will hear from safety professionals around the industry as we talk about challenges, innovations, and stories that will help you lead a better safety program. This is the Safety Pro Roundtable.
Welcome back. Today I'm talking to Tim Autry. Incredible guy. He is a force. When I'm talking to him, it is like all the safety knowledge is coming my way. He wrote a great book, 6-Hour Safety Culture, and really talks a lot about human performance. You're not going to want to miss this.
I am here with Tim Autry, and he is the writer. Did you do this all by yourself?
Yeah.
You wrote a book.
Yep.
6-Hour Safety Culture. And you focus on human performance. And today we're talking about in the lane of safety.
Absolutely correct.
All right.
So first of all, there's a big misconception about human performance. A lot of people think it's rules and tools. For example, there are little tools handbooks, which we have. There are cards. There are what we used to call in the nuclear power industry, nuclear jewelry to hang around on your lanyard and all those kinds of things. That is not human performance. What human performance is, very simply, is why we do what we do the way we do it.
Why we do what we do the way we do it.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
So you have a way that you do everything you do, and you have a reason for doing it.
Yes.
Same thing for me. We make choices. We take actions. We take those actions in a certain way, which are our behaviors, right? Why we do what we do the way we do it.
Okay.
So when we think about, let's now segue to safety for just a second here, because this is a safety conference. So a big aspect of human performance, not by far, not the only aspect, but a big aspect of human performance is the reduction of mistakes, or what a lot of people refer to as human error.
Okay.
So
we want to reduce the amount of mistakes that we make.
Correct. And people are going to make mistakes. They're fallible. So a lot of what we're hearing at this conference this year, particularly, and thanks to Todd Conklin and a lot of other folks, is talking about the capacity to deal with those mistakes without somebody getting seriously hurt or killed. That's all fantastic stuff, right? We kind of focus on the front end of everything. So if you think about, no matter what you're doing in life, you make a choice to do something, and you do that, whatever that is, in a certain way. So let's take it all the way to, why did you make the choice to do that at that moment in time under those conditions, okay? Now, the way that we can, let's tie this back into safety. So first of all, relative to mistakes, the statistics are that about 95% of the time somebody gets hurt on the job, human error is involved. So if we can come up with a way to minimize the frequency and severity of mistakes, we get essentially a one-for-one benefit in safety, but we get all kinds of other benefits because mistakes can cause all kinds of other bad things to happen other than just people getting hurt, right? So that's a big piece of it. So now we've heard for years in the realm of safety that we know we've done our jobs well as safety professionals when people are doing safe things at home, when they're wearing PPE when they mow the lawn, when they're wearing their eye protection, when they're drilling a hole in the wall, that's when we know we've scored, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now let's get that back to why would I, and matter of fact, I just hung some brackets in my garage this past weekend, and I wore eye protection when I drilled the holes in the walls. Why did I do that?
Okay.
Well, pretty simple. I kind of value my eyes, right?
Okay.
And I've been in this world forever, and I know it's the right thing to do. Why do I wear hearing protection when I use the blower or the weed eater or whatever? Because I value my hearing. So when we can get to the why then, when we're talking about influencing different choices, different actions, and different behaviors, that's where we should focus.
Okay.
Now, some of the things that we've heard also in this conference so far, because I love the way safety's evolved. I haven't been to one of these conferences in several years. And I love what people are talking about. It's moving in the right direction. I just want to help move it further, faster.
Okay.
So they're saying, don't focus on the why. You got to ask how. How did this happen and what happened? We're not talking about asking why after something bad happened. We're focusing on the very front end of why we choose to do what we do the way we do it. Right?
Okay.
So that's the big deal.
Is everyone's why the same?
Oh, absolutely not. My why at this moment could be completely different than it is 30 minutes from now.
Okay.
Because it's all, the whole world is very dynamic. And that's one of the big things, again, we're hearing a lot of these folks talk about is the dynamic situation. And we've got to have the capacity or the capability to take that into consideration.
Okay.
So everybody seems to be, from what I'm seeing so far, headed in a very good direction. Now, let's get back to that why, and let's get back to you and me, for example, as influencers. We want to influence people to do things maybe, or to do things in different ways, right?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the question I have. How can we inspire people, team members, to do right things for right reasons, even when no one's watching? When will they, that's a better way to ask that question, when will they do that? You or me included. When will you or I do the right thing for the right reasons when nobody else is watching?
Okay.
You have any idea?
I think, I mean, I have all kinds of, let me think about this just for a second. Okay, why would I do the right thing when no one's looking?
Right.
Well, okay, I'll take it. First layer is that, I want to be a good person. I have a good conscience, and it's freedom.
Okay.
Freedom. But if you go underneath that,
right,
fear of being a bad person.
Okay. All right. So we can simplify that. It's because you want to. Because you have your own perceptions of what a bad person is and what a good person is.
Right.
You want to be a good person.
Okay.
So at a moment of choice, even if it's not convenient, even if it's not something you want to do, but it's the right thing to do, and nobody's going to know, nobody else is going to know whether you did it or not. You're only going to do it if you want to. That's true for me. It's true for everybody. So this isn't about pointing fingers at the workers in the field and saying, they're not wearing their PPE. Well, they're not wearing it because they don't want to. So then.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's pretty simple.
Yes. They don't want to.
They don't want to.
Yeah.
So then we have to ask the question, why don't they want to? Well, maybe they value being comfortable more than they fear the risk of getting hit in the head or losing their hearing or losing their eyesight. So it's all relevant, right?
Okay.
So when we begin to focus on the why, and we can do that in the right way, then we can inspire people to make different choices and take different choices to take different actions and to take those different actions in different ways. And
are you trying to give them a new why or change their perspective?
Okay, so now we need to go a little deeper.
Yeah.
Are you ready to go a little deeper?
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful.
I'm ready.
All right, so first of all, the reason that I wrote this book is because we got to a point in our history, we had a team at the time of about 15, 16 people, and we had had phenomenal success. We've worked all over the world, well over 100,000 team members and their leaders. And we have, to my knowledge, an unparalleled string of success stories of our clients. Now, they did it. We just inspired them to do it and gave them some tools and strategies and techniques. But so about 2000, well, in 2014, I guess, my team's saying, you got to write the book. You got to write the book. You got to write the book. Well, this took three starts. And the first start was just another boring book. It sounded like everything everybody else is writing. And then I thought, well, I discovered somewhere along the way that when Stephen Covey wrote Seven Habits, he had a ghostwriter. I don't know if you're aware of that
or
not.
I do know ghostwriters.
And so I thought, well, if a ghostwriter is good enough for Stephen Covey, it's good enough for me. So I did a bunch of research online, and I found what I thought would be a great ghostwriter, signed the contract, got the first, sent this woman all of our stuff, everything, right? And she said, well, it's going to take me a while. And of course, there's a lot of stuff. So anyway, she sent me the first chapter, whatever. It was horrible. I mean, it was so bad. First of all, it wasn't like any of the example stuff of hers that I had seen. So I don't know. That's a different story. But
sure.
The point is, if you don't get this stuff, you can't write about it. So then I decided, all right, this was iteration number three. I'm just going to tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had so many comments about this book that, interestingly enough, you think about a book like this, it's like, oh, this is a reference book or something. But I've had so many people say, I couldn't put the thing down because basically I just wrote my story of where this came from all the way back to starting when I was 10 years old. And I discovered a fascination for why people do what they do the way they do it. Although I didn't have those words in my, you know,
sure.
I didn't have that definition in my vocabulary, but human behavior just fascinated me. And when I was real young, the first few times I had the opportunity to fly on planes, for example, I loved going to the airport because I just was fascinated just watching people. Not so much anymore, but back then I found it fascinating. So anyway, that was just a natural interest of mine. And then I ended up in these different roles. And the way I like to say it is human performance really chased me. I never intended to get into error reduction or anything related to that. But it's all about human behavior and the choices we make. So then if we dig deeper down into to answer your question of why, what I outline in here, and you're welcome. I mean, you can have this.
I love that.
If you promise you're going to read it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Then I will give it to you. I brought it as a photo op. If you promise you'll read it, I would love for you to have it.
I love that.
Okay.
Thank you.
So there's a model in here. I call it the individual performance model.
Okay.
And out of all the things that I've created my entire professional life, it's probably the single most fundamentally important thing, because it takes about 6 years of college level psychology and breaks it into a very simple, understandable model.
Can I just go back to that page?
Well, you can. It's in the table of contents. You can see where it is. You can go right there. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, the thing that's fascinating about this is it works in all directions.
Yeah.
It works in our personal lives as well as our professional lives.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm so excited to be talking at this conference about leading from the front, because so many frontline leaders are so freaking frustrated because they can't get the support. They're getting yelled at from here, but they don't get the support. They're getting yelled at or apathy from here because, so what am I supposed to do? They're in the toughest, I think, the toughest position in the entire work, vertical work structure is the frontline supervisor or the foreman, whatever title companies are using, right? So anyway, the way this model works, and I'll keep this very short,
because
you can read it all in here. If you can visualize, if you visualize a triangle or a pyramid,
okay.
It starts from the bottom and goes to the top.
Yeah.
First thing that happens at the bottom is we have thoughts.
Okay.
Some of those thoughts generate feelings. Feelings pass through this thing called the gap, which you're going to have to read about in here. And once we come out the other side of that gap, we make choices to take actions and take those actions in a certain way. So it goes thoughts, feelings, through the gap. The gap is, I'll just tell you real quickly, is what separates human beings from all other living creatures on the planet. That's where we make a choice.
Okay.
So something has initiated a thought.
What? The gap of conscience?
Well, conscience certainly comes into that.
Okay.
If you think about, and again, since you asked the question, I could talk about this for hours, but if you, since you asked the question, to keep our human brain, the physical brain, very simple, three major parts, right? You've got the neocortex, which is the most evolved part around the outside. You've got the limbic brain, which is the big mass in the middle. And then you've got the amygdala or the lizard brain right at the top of your spinal cord. Sounds like you're familiar with all this, okay? So in the limbic brain is where I believe everything that's ever happened to us is stored in there.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about conscience, that's where the neural connections all link up. And that's what happens in the gap, right?
Okay.
So for example, have you ever had a good way to explain the gap? Have you ever had somebody do something that just really pissed you off? Can I say that on this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Something pisses me off all the time.
Okay.
Not really,
and when,
but sometimes.
Okay. And when that happened, have you ever made the choice in your past to just lash back out at that person?
Yeah.
And then after the fact, think, man, I wish I hadn't said that or done that. We've all been there, right?
Absolutely.
So at that instant where you chose, because you made the choice to lash back out at that person, you're smack dab in the middle of the gap.
Okay.
That's what the gap is. That's that point. You had some kind of a thought, that thought initiated some kind of a feeling. In the gap is where these triggers light off because of all that junk stored inside.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something that happened to us when we were 10 years
Absolutely.
Old, right? Has nothing to do with the poor person on the receiving end, but they flipped
theirs.
A trigger, right?
Absolutely.
So that's the gap. So then if you think about the progression, thoughts generate feelings. Feelings pass through the gap to manifest as our choices, actions, and behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Our choices, actions, and behaviors interact with everyone and everything around us to provide our results. Those results feed back as experiences.
Okay.
Now, before we even get inside of that triangle or that pyramid, we have our mindset and our perception.
Okay.
Our mindset is basically our general overall attitude. You had a mindset this morning about doing this all day for 2 days. I'm sure you were just, oh, I can't wait, right? And now you have a mindset about thinking, when is this guy going to shut up so I can get out of here? So anyway, I'm kidding. So anyway, mindset is just our, so great way to think about that is, have you ever awakened in the morning? And I know you have because you're CrossFit, right? Was that the other thing that I,
yeah.
So I'm sure you've awakened in the morning, you just feel like $1 million, right? Mm-hmm. What kind of a day do you have when you feel like that? You have a fantastic day. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you have triplets. There are days when it's like, you wish the world would just go away, oh right?
Yes.
When you stay in that mindset, what kind of a day do you have?
Shit.
It sucks. Okay, pissing is not that
God.
Bad.
I'm talking about my kids, and will they irritate me sometimes?
I know. I got it.
They really do. You have twins, you know.
I
they
do.
Twins, they don't stop talking. Nobody listens. And it's not just because there's multiples. The kids are just crazy.
And wait till they're teenagers.
I don't want to do that.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't
That's
want
when
to.
It really gets
How
fun.
Old are your twins?
Well, they're in their 30s now.
What?
Yeah. So... It's a long time ago.
Yeah, I need to wrap my mind around that.
So anyway, where was I? So mindset. If you stay in that mindset, negative, you have a horrible day, right?
Exactly.
So that's where you need to do what we call pattern interruption or breaking pattern. Tony Robbins made his whole career on pattern interruption, right? Very, very powerful stuff. If you can break the pattern, you can get out of that mindset.
Yep.
So the thing is, we bring that a little closer to home. That's just a simple example to explain what it is. But in the workplace, let's say you're my supervisor.
Yeah.
I have a general overall mindset about you.
What is your mindset?
It can be positive. It can be positive. It can be negative, right?
Okay.
So have you ever heard the phrase before, you're going to find whatever it is you're looking for?
Yes.
Well, this is where it comes into play right here.
Okay.
So if you're my supervisor and I have a general overall negative mindset about you for whatever reason,
sure.
I'm going to be looking for everything bad about you that I can possibly find. And guess what? I'm going to find it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's mindset. It's your mental amplifier.
Okay.
That comes into, so the whole external world is out here. So we had that pyramid, right? Mm-hmm. Thoughts, feelings, etc. So now think about this over here. You've got mindset. So the whole external world has to pass through a couple of things before it even generates a conscious thought.
Okay.
So mindset is your amplifier.
Okay.
You're looking for positive. You're looking for negative relative to a person, a relationship, a job, a task within your overall responsibilities, whatever it is. Okay. The other one is perception. Mm-hmm. Perception is our mental filter, right? So mindset is kind of overall pervasive. Perception is very, very fickle, and it can change instantaneously. And oftentimes it has a lot to do with our perspective. So you asked me earlier, does our why change? Well, our why can change just like that if we simply change our perspective.
Absolutely. Okay, 6 hour safety culture. Tim Autry, where can they find you?
PPIweb.com. Real easy to remember. PPI stands for either Practicing Perfection Institute or Principle-Based Performance Improvement.
Wonderful.
All
Thank
right.
You.
Thank you very much.
All right.
It's been a great, Stacey.
Great
conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Safety Pro Roundtable. This podcast is brought to you by Sospis, bringing you the best EH software in the industry. If you're ready to learn more about how an EHS software can transform your safety program, your profits, and your entire company, head to www.sospis.com/podcast. That is www.sospes.com/podcast. We'll see you next time on the Safety Pro Roundtable.